Well, the last 16 first legs came to a close in style. Atletico took the lead in Madrid, but Manchester United hit back thanks to their new teenage star. In Portugal, there was a breathless night between Benfica and Ajax. We will review both matches after another cracking Champions League evening. Welcome along, I'm Chris Parrott, and we're going to reflect on two magnificent matches. Both finished level, both are set up superbly for the second legs in a couple of weeks' time. Joined by your match commentators, Mark Scott and Adam Summerton. Mark, you were watching Atletico against Manchester United, and Diego Simeone walked down the tunnel at the end, and he looked disappointed that his team had not won.
And he should be disappointed his team didn't win. They were much the better side throughout. Chances overall were few and far between. The only shots on target ended up in the back of the respective nets. Atleti hit the frame of the goal a couple of times as well. They had more attacking intent about them. They had more purpose. Manchester United in the first half didn't have a single touch in the Atleti penalty area. But the evening will probably be remembered for a first ever European goal from the 19-year-old Anthony Elanga, who came on from the bench to score an important goal for Manchester United once again.
Yeah, perhaps a new Champions League star. Adam, 25 attempts in your match. It was pretty good, wasn't it?
Just such good fun. And I think we got the game that we really expected. When you looked at the two teams on paper, you look at their strengths, you look at the onus that there was on Benfica tonight to have a good go. I think one of the local papers said all or nothing was their headline. And they played like that, particularly in the second half, really. They had such a good go at Ajax. You gave them opportunities, but of course Ajax with a couple of goals themselves. It just a game that just had so much. You just didn't want it to end. Just a fantastic advert for what is just such a wonderful competition.
It certainly is, and it always seems to produce once the round of 16 gets going. So, Wednesday's results. Atletico 1, Manchester United 1, Benfica 2, Ajax 2. No away goals, remember, so both of these matches are brilliantly poised. Joining us as well this evening, the European football journalist Andy Brassel. I'm already looking forward to the return night of these two games. They were brilliant. They were very different matches, but they are both beautifully set up for the second legs.
Yeah, they couldn't do it all next week, could they?
I'm not sure I can wait
for 3 weeks. They might need a breather after that, I think, because we've had two breathless matches this evening. And Atletico will be really disappointed, I think, after that first half. One of their better, if not their best, first 45 of the season. And they could have really put Manchester United away. But I think the fact that they have had declining returns in the UEFA Champions League really showed by the way that they were unable to keep that pressure up in the second half. And as I said before, Ralf Rangnick, I think, coached it really well. Made not big sweeping changes, but I think sensible changes, front foot changes as well. And that bravery was really rewarded in the end.
It certainly was. And we will speak a lot more about Anthony Elanga in the next few minutes. Remember, on Tuesday, these first legs as well. Chelsea beat Lille 2-0. Villarreal drew 1-1 with Juventus. For reaction to those results, download our Tuesday podcast via your favourite podcast provider. But we are going to start with a look back at Atletico against Manchester United in Madrid. And as I mentioned, Mark Scott was your match commentator.
Lindelof got his head on it, but the pieces have been picked up and the cross is going to be swung in by Lodi. Chance off the post and in! What a start for Atleti! João Félix with the header, and the home side are off to a flying start after a flying finish from João Félix. Atleti 1, Manchester United 0.
He's a born number 9 and a born number 10 in the same body. It's a great header.
United are on the attack here, and it's come through for Elanga. Here's the chance, which he's taken! Oh, what a moment for Anthony Elanga, who has done it again! Off the bench to grab a priceless goal for Manchester United. A young man who has stood up on the big stage and has got a goal that has brought Manchester United back into a tie. They have been second best in. Atleti 1, Manchester United 1.
Anthony Elanga, 19, born in Malmö in Sweden, joined United at the age of 12, and he is coming up with big moments now, not just domestically, but on the European stage. Well, Mark and Andy join me now. Elanga's goal, United's 500th in this competition, a tally which is only bettered by Barcelona, Bayern and Real Madrid. And for a long time in that match, Mark, you couldn't see United coming away from the Metropolitano with anything bar a defeat.
No, don't be fooled by the scoreline. This was a draw in score alone in terms of the balance of play, the intensity of play, the purpose of play. Atleti were streets ahead of Manchester United, who were sluggish, they were off colour, they didn't really seem to have a game plan. It was an interesting starting lineup from Ralf Rangnick, with Victor Lindelof starting at right back. He said in his pre-match interview that they had the flexibility to be able to change in game. They didn't change anything really until the latter stages of the match, one of the changes being the introduction of Elanga. He brought on a recognised right back in Wan-Bissaka for Lindelof eventually, but there was inflexibility a lot of the time about Manchester United. Atleti looked up for it from the start. They were helped by that early goal from João Felix. They made all the running. They closed United down. The pressing was good. United were sort of going backwards and square passes, no real incisive play. We mentioned they didn't have a single touch in the Atleti box in the first half. Kondogbia was patrolling the midfield. United couldn't get Ronaldo onto the ball. It was all one-way traffic. The only disappointment for the home side that they only had one goal to show for their dominance. Manchester United would have probably taken a 1-0 defeat at full time. They may even have settled for a 2-0 loss given how poorly they were playing. But instead, they go back to Old Trafford 1-1. It has been a very fortunate night for them in terms of the result.
Yes, and I think we have to give credit to Manchester United for sticking in there. We have to give credit to the coach for making the little changes. I think bringing on Matic enabled them to protect against the counter-attack and go and look for the equaliser in a way that they weren't really able to do before that. But the answer was always there. I think you looked at the way Atletico sought to defend. They're not really that happy defending deep anymore. So they tried to defend in the first half with two banks of four and then in a five and a three. But once you got past the midfield, United were always going to be in business. And that's what they did, I think, for the Elanga goal. You look, Fred releasing Bruno Fernandes. Bruno Fernandes creating a bit of space for himself. This was not a good Bruno Fernandes game. You know, he has been a wonderful player for Manchester United in the two and a bit years that he's been at the club. This was him at way below his best. But to keep trying stuff, to keep looking for the possibilities when nothing's coming off for you, and in the end, finding the right pass for Elanga. Okay, it took the little slip from Reinildo, but I think you look at that little burst of pace from him, and that's what Paul Pogba was sort of edging towards doing when he was taken off. And as I said, I think it turned out to be the right substitution because Matic being the anchor really helped them. But just that little bit of burst of pace from Fernandes, which really showed how static United were all evening, all of a sudden Atletico were out of shape. That created the space, and Elanga only needed one touch. He just sized up where the goal was, first time finish. It's a great, great first Champions League goal for him.
It certainly is. Two youngsters, differing paths, of course. João Felix arrived at Atletico for a huge fee. He was magnificent. He was the official UEFA player of the match. And then Anthony Elanga, who was signed, as I mentioned, as a boy, really, and has come through the Manchester United academy. But we'll talk about Elanga's finish, but let's talk about that diving header. Because we mentioned at the time, you don't see that many anymore. And the ball to tee up João Felix's opener was great. But Mark, the header was, well, you called it in comms, it was it was perfect, really.
Absolutely brilliant from João Félix. It was a wonderful ball in from Renan Lodi as well, whipped in from the left-hand side, and he just flung himself at it. Full diving forwards header, got the perfect contact on it. David De Gea could only watch it hit the post and rebound marginally over the line and into the other side of the net. It was brilliant. There was so much energy and enthusiasm about it. It was a great striker's finish, and I think Andy Brassel summed it up perfectly in commentary, saying he's a number 9 and a number 10 in one body.
Yeah, that might have been the line of the night, actually, yeah. Andy Brassel.
Well, we need to see more of that for him, don't you? And I think part of that's an Atletico problem. They've not given him the service to show the number 9 bit of it, really. That has been the issue. Of course, we know he's had health concerns, fitness concerns from last season, which have been tough for him and trailed into this season a bit. But it totally vindicated, I think, Diego Simeone's choice. And you look at the quality of players. Like, there are less players on the Atletico bench than Manchester United have this evening. What, they have three less substitutes. There are more game changers on the Atletico bench. And I think that Simeone was able to leave Luis Suarez, who didn't come on the bench, to leave Lemar on the bench from the beginning, to leave Griezmann on the bench from the beginning. That was completely justified because Angel Correa was super busy all evening, caused Manchester United a lot of problems. And João Félix, I mean, that's probably his best European game. And you can include, you know, scoring a hat-trick in the UEFA Europa League as a teenager with Benfica against Eintracht Frankfurt, because that, if he can play like that 8 times out of 10, Well, Atletico can go a long way in this competition in any year.
He's still only 22, just turned 22 in November. Did we see where Atletico are as well? You two talked about a lot pre-game and during the game, because certainly for 45 minutes, that was it. They were magnificent. Did they run out of steam? Did Manchester United change something? How did the dynamic change as that second half went on, do you think?
I think it's a sense with Atletico that they struggle to get it done in the knockout stages of this competition now. I think we think of them knocking out the likes of Barcelona, knocking out the likes of Bayern. That was a different set of players at a different time. In recent times, you've looked at Simeone being outwitted by Julian Nagelsmann. You know, falling short against a lot of quality opposition in this competition. And I don't think there was really the belief, even after that brilliant first half, I don't know about you, Mark, to really push home that advantage.
Yeah, and what I would also say is that United had a little bit more urgency after they brought on those substitutes. In particular, Elanga, he made that run. He made that positive surge forwards that Bruno Fernandes spotted, as Andy pointed out, but we weren't seeing many of those runs. And in a match of few clear-cut chances, that positive run and that wonderful pass from Bruno Fernandes stuck out. Quality that we know Bruno Fernandes has in abundance. His assists record in the UEFA Champions League speaks for itself. But perhaps United needed that more direct and almost innocence of youth to actually have a dart at the Atleti backline, because we didn't see that often enough. It was too safe, and he decided to go for the less safe option, and it paid off. And he has also, you know, got the proud record of being one of the youngest scorers for Manchester United in the UEFA Champions League. The fifth youngest, in fact, after Wayne Rooney, David Beckham and Phil Jones. Not bad company.
And he already has a very catchy song, which was being sang around the Metropolitana. I'm not going to sing it, but it goes to the tune of Rhythm is a Dancer, and they're going to be singing that very late into the night in the Spanish capital, the Manchester United supporters.
Are you sure they weren't singing for Jeffrey Schlupp? I think Crystal Palace won tonight.
Well, look, you guys can argue about that off air. Second leg, you mentioned Griezmann, Suarez didn't start for Atletico. Will they come back in? I mean, it is really, really nicely set up, isn't it, for the second leg at Old Trafford. We kind of spoke about the possibility of extra time, I think, before the match kicked off, and you look at it halfway through the tie and you think there is a distinct possibility this could go all the way.
Yeah, and I think you look at this and it doesn't tell us really a lot that we didn't know before, because we know that both of these teams have absolutely outstanding players. Both of these teams have the sort of players that should be able to take them deep into the competition. they also have a lot of holes and they're short of where they want to be. It will be devastating for it, whichever one of these teams goes out of the UEFA Champions League. But so much can change because they're so incredibly inconsistent, both of these teams. So much can change in the space of 3 weeks. You think a week ago today, and Atletico, as we said, have played their best first half probably of the entire season. A week ago, in the same stadium, they played the bottom team in Levante, in La Liga, who are doomed to relegation. They didn't get a shot on target.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like two different teams.
Also looking at the fixtures that they've got between now and the second leg, which is always interesting. Manchester United have got Tottenham Hotspur and the small matter of the Manchester Derby against City as well.
Wow.
You know, Real Betis are on the horizon for Atleti, who are obviously a team that they're trying to track down in the fight for Champions League qualification next season. But you wonder about the drain of emotion that Manchester Derby might take and, you know, where the squad will be then. You know, 3 weeks is a long time in football. Mm.
It is. It's a very good point. Let's see how they both shape up ahead of that second leg at Old Trafford on Tuesday, the 15th of March. So it finished. Atletico 1, Manchester United 1. To Portugal next, where Benfica took on Ajax, two storied clubs in this competition. And we knew, or we thought we knew one thing before this tie, that it guaranteed goals. Adam Summerton, watch this one.
Allaire's waiting in the middle. It's Tadic! Perfectly placed, right-footed. Great counter-attack by Ajax. And it was the skipper in the box who takes his personal tally in the UEFA Champions League into double figures. Oh, Vertonghen with a chance to cross. Pulls it across and it's an own goal! It's been turned in. Champions League, Sebastian Allaire, and Benfica are on terms. Ajax threatening down the left-hand side, in towards Allaire, and he's turned it home at the second attempt. What a night he's having in the thick of the action at both ends of the pitch. And it's Benfica 1, Ajax 2. Oh, and it's been brought down in the box here by Timber. Ajax wants a penalty, the referee says play on, and now it's Benfica on the counter, and they've got four forward. It's four against three, it's Rafa Silva, inside it goes here, and the chance for Gonzalo Ramos, brilliant save, but then on the rebound it's in! They've equalised! They've been the better side in this second half, and it's Benfica 2, Ajax 2.
Well, a brilliant game in Lisbon. Adam joins me now. I mean, have you had a chance to have a drink, a lie down? I mean,
I've got a flannel on my head.
That is a magnificent image. I mean, it was frantic from minute one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really. There was just a real openness to the game, which was fantastic for the neutral. I would imagine if you support one of those teams, it must have been hard to watch at times because it was so frantic and frenetic. But I really enjoyed it. And, you know, the statistics, you know, make for interesting reading. It was Ajax who had the better of the possession, 58% they had, but it was Benfica who had more attempts, 14 they had. Ajax had 11. Benfica had 38 attacks. Ajax had 46. So that really, I suppose, in statistical form, maybe illustrates the type of game that it was. I just felt that Ajax, they had a spell towards the end of the first half where they could easily have gone in at half-time 4-1 up. They were 2-1 up and they had two really good chances. And you just felt that Benfica had wilted a little bit. And that was maybe they could have really put their foot on their neck, so to speak, at that point. But they didn't do that. They didn't take those chances. And then I just felt in the second half that Ajax just didn't really manage the game that well. And I think, you know, it's easy for us to sit here and say, ah, yeah, but that's just what Ajax do, that they're not the type of side who'll protect a lead. They just only know one way to play. But I think at this level of football, in the latter stages of the elite club competition in world football, I think you have to be able to manage a game better than that. Now, I'm not saying stick everybody behind the ball and protect what you've got, maybe like Juventus tried to do yesterday against Villarreal, but you've got to be able to slow the game down. You've got to be able to get a cheap free kick here and there to stop the other team getting a head of steam up, but they didn't do that. And that allowed the likes of Rafa Silva, it allowed the likes of Gonzalo Ramos to really have an influence on the game. And they deserve to get back into it. They deserve the equaliser. And I think, on balance, Chris, I think 2-2 or a draw was probably a fair result in the end, really.
Well, let's hear from the Ajax captain now, Dusan Tadic, who was disappointed not to win.
Of course, we know that Benfica didn't lose long time home, but still, there is no excuse. We want every game to win, and today we didn't win, and of course, we are disappointed. Second half also, we should do better. It was not our game. We were too rushing with the ball, maybe, and I think we need to do even better, and then it's more easy for us to play our game, you know.
As you heard, Tadic with one of the goals, Sebastian Haller with the other for Ajax, and he made history, the fastest ever player to 11 goals in the competition, just 7 matches. Also, now this is the best ever debut season in front of goal in the Champions League. He was level with Erling Haaland, Roberto Firmino and Sadio Mane in their first campaigns in the Champions League. But Sebastian Haller with 11 goals is now rewriting the record books, Andy. I know he also scored an own goal and missed a very good chance, but it's incredible, really.
It's a remarkable record, and I think the biggest tribute you can pay to him is what he offers Ajax is not just about the goals. Now, we know they've got the quality service from all over, from Mazraoui in the full-back position, from Antony, who's been outstanding this season and is going to be a big name in European football for years and years to come, from Dusan Tadic, who's still doing it well into his 30s,
yeah,
and is still a real leader for that team. But Haller is the perfect striker for them in so many ways, in providing a focal point, in bringing other players into the game, and in finishing off all those chances. And well, Lisbon's his happy place.
Yeah, it certainly is. Yeah, of course.
I think it's going to be really interesting, isn't it, the second leg, to see the approach from the two sides. I suspect it will be different maybe from Benfica tonight, and maybe they'll feel a sense of missed opportunity tonight, in that, you know, the onus was on them tonight, particularly, you know, having to go to the Netherlands for the second leg. But it is set up so well, isn't it? I mean, it's so in the balance, this game. I was also impressed by Darwin Nunez, who at the start of the second half looked really frustrated, because I think I said at half time, fellas, that they'd not got him involved in the game. But what was so impressive about him in the second half is that he's a big physical presence, and it was almost as if he forced his way into the game and said, I'm not going to let this pass me by. And he really did try and force his way into it, and they were much better in that respect. Rafa Silva really impressed me as well in that second half too. And he's a clever player as well. He is big, he is strong, he is a physical presence, Darwin Nunez. But there's also good technical ability, good awareness from him as well. There was a couple of times that he almost set up Yaramchuk to maybe even get a winner. So I wonder whether he might play a big role as well in the second leg, Darwin Nunez too. But you look across the two squads, there's so many potential match winners, isn't there, in both of those squads. But I think it is advantage Ajax, isn't it, with home advantage in that second leg. And we know how good they are on their own patch.
But I think when you look at something that could give Benfica hope, you look towards, well, we look backwards towards the playoffs, and where they went to the Netherlands after really battling to win that first leg against PSV, went there with a slim advantage, and then ground out a 0-0 draw after losing their best defender, Lucas Verissimo, to a red card in the first half. Of course, Verissimo's got a serious knee injury, so he can't play for the rest of the season, and that's required them sort of rejigging at the back. But they're going over there with something to cling to, and I think that's really, really important. And as Adam pointed out, I think Rafa Silva is going to be even more important in the second leg, because if they're going to get the opportunities on the counter, there's a playmaker with pace. And I think that makes an enormous difference.
Yeah, he was excellent, Chris. He really was. I was very impressed by him. There was one time, actually, where I just felt that he just maybe, to one criticism, he lacked a little bit of conviction. He'd made a fantastic run all the way up the pitch, showed tremendous pace to get into the box. They just couldn't keep up with him. That was the problem. He was going that quick. And he got into the box, and then the angle's in his favour. You're thinking, go on then, hit it. And rather than do that, he's seen a run into the box from Darwin Núñez, and he's tried to play it across. It was a good idea, but he's played it just too far in front of Darwin Núñez, and he stretched, but he couldn't quite get there. And I just wondered whether, if he'd had his time again, whether he would have taken that on himself. That was a really good opening that he didn't make the most of. But overall, in that second half, I thought he was one of the players that in that second half was saying, come on, let's have a real good go at them. And you know, they did just that. And I thought they were really good in the second half, Benfica.
Of course, the first goal was an own goal from Sebastien Haller for Benfica. It was made by Jan Vertonghen, though, and we can hear from him now.
We have confidence in our team, especially at home, and I think we've showed before against good teams that that suits us better. We have a team with a lot of pace and power, and against teams like Ajax that give a lot of space in the counter-attack, we can create a lot of chances, especially in the second half. We have everything to play for. Obviously, the away goals system doesn't count anymore, I think. We're very confident, and as I said, we're very good with space, and that we'll definitely get space in Amsterdam.
Well, Nusser Mazraoui was the official UEFA player of the match. Adam, just one more on the second leg, I think. Two great clubs, both multiple winners, both been to finals. Benfica last made the quarterfinals in 2016. Ajax have made the quarterfinals just twice since the mid-90s. That is a monumental match in Amsterdam.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for these two clubs, it's such a big opportunity, an opportunity that, as you've just perfectly illustrated there, doesn't come around that often, perhaps. And that, particularly with Ajax, you look at this side and you think, I wouldn't necessarily call it a golden generation, but it's another really good team. And the problem is that we all know from the way this football tends to work is that their better players may well get picked off. So they really want to make the most of this opportunity that they've been given with this fantastic group of players. They're a really balanced side. And but I can see Andy's point, though, what he's saying about Benfica potentially being dangerous in that second leg as well, potentially on the counter-attack with Rafa Silva maybe leading that. Gonçalo Ramos was important in that respect as well tonight too. So this has got a long way to go. This time, I wouldn't be surprised if we had a similar type of game in the second leg. I hope so anyway. I'll certainly be watching.
It will be bouncing at the Johan Cruyff Arena. Adam, thank you very much. So 2-2 in that match. 1-1 in the game between Atletico and Manchester United. And we can hear from United's interim head coach now, Ralf Rangnick.
A very poor start into the game, being 1-0 down after 7 minutes against Atletico made things a lot more difficult for us. But overall, I was not at all happy and pleased with our performance in the first half. We played far too apprehensive on the ball, with not enough conviction. We passed the ball around in our own half, but not in the important areas of the pitch. That's why we were 1-0 down, and we could have been easily 2-0 down at halftime. Second half, I think we did a lot better. With another 10 minutes to play, we might have even won the game. But in total, I must say, it was a good result, but the performance in the first half was not good at all.
Andy, Mark, same question to both of you. Who do you have as favourites for this tie ahead of the second leg?
I think Atleti. I think that just based on that game, I think Diego Simeone's side were unfortunate. They had the better game plan. They looked more comfortable in possession. I would still back them going into the Old Trafford leg, even though it's all square.
Isn't that interesting? We've got a split.
Excellent. It's been far too amicable.
Going United, but there's not going to be much in it. I just don't trust Atletico to make the most of their good points in the game, really.
And of course, United will hope that 75,000 fans can make a difference, because the atmosphere in the Metropolitano, Mark, was amazing.
It was. It was superb.
Well, that's all we have time for here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. The final night of the first legs was brilliant. The Champions League takes a week off next week, but we're back on Tuesday, the 8th of March, when we'll find out our first two quarter-finalists, because Liverpool play Inter, Liverpool 2-0 up, and it's Bayern against Salzburg, 1-1 in that tie. Then on Wednesday, 2 weeks' time, Real Madrid against Paris Saint-Germain. Paris 1-0 up, and Manchester City against Sporting City in charge. But thanks for listening. It's been a brilliant set of first legs. Two draws on Wednesday evening and everything to play for ahead of the second legs. For the whole Matchday Live team and for myself, Chris Parrott, it is goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.